across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Along with Greg Bach and Waukesha, and coming up later, our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, as we talk to another candidate. And Renee Papelheim talks about her use of social media, specifically TikTok, to get her message out. We'll talk to Luke Mathers about Top Chef in just a little bit. First, I've got to note that according to my Apple Watch, I've already done 3 minutes of exercise. And I don't know how that happened. I can only figure it was the way my heart was beating. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, please, you do kind. The way my heart was beating, thinking I might, you know, mess up Idina Menzel's name. So, however, I got it.
Kaprufa Famalel.
It could be just from lifting this coffee cup as often as I do. I don't know. So, now I have another, I have an embarrassing confession to make here.
What's that?
And it all starts with Rob up in Tigerton, who does have the weather today. Brittany Merlot is a little under the weather. Hope to talk to her tomorrow. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 45. It got down to 40 before sunrise. Busy day mowing lawns. Tomorrow and Saturday, it's Sundrop Days in Shawano. Sundrop Soda is the official soft drink of Shawano County. So, first off, Jeff Moran, who's on the Apple staff, I've known forever, great guy, Shawano native. I don't know if I've ever never heard this. What is the connection between Sundrop, citrus soda, and Shawano? So, of course, I turned to the expert on all things Wikipedia, and I've seen how it was developed in Missouri, how it's been a favorite in certain regions of the country, including Wisconsin. But I'm looking to see what it is exactly about Shawano. I see that there is a museum. There's a museum. At the Shawano Sundrop Days, they sell only Sundrop products with the exception of the beer tent. You'll also find Diet Sundrop, Cherry Lemon Sundrop, and Diet Cherry Lemon Sundrop. But I still don't know the exact. Is it just because they all like it that much, or
yes,
was there a, you know, a tie-in through commerce in some way or another? So, somebody go to Sundrop Days in Shawano this weekend and enjoy, and then, you know, fill me in. Poor Greg is quickly trying to do research even as we speak here too. So there you go, Sundrop Days. So with Brittany away, we got Rob giving us the temperature from Tigerton. Elsewhere around the state right now, it's 47 here on Lake Wissota. Hayward has jumped up to 50. It was 39 last hour, 50 now. Park Falls, 43. Wausau, 48. Green Bay is at 50. La Crosse, 55. Wisconsin Rapids, 52. Oshkosh is 53, Madison 52, and Waukesha is up to 46.
Yeah.
After being in the upper 30s an hour ago. So things are getting better here. Let's see. Brittany left a little note that there is high pressure overhead, which makes total sense when you look at that beautiful blue sky and how much calmer things are. You know, the wind isn't like ceaselessly blowing. We could actually, you know, light a fire last night and take care of some matters in the burn pit. Sunny and highs today in the low to mid 70s around much of the state, but a frost advisory still for northern counties of Wisconsin. It says until 9 a.m., but it looks like everybody appears to be in the clear now. Maybe it's just some very low-lying areas, but yeah, having this high pressure overhead, this works for me. I like this. This is drop the top on the Jeep weather.
Drop the top and drink some Sundrop.
And drink some Sundrop. Yeah, exactly. Well, one of the things that I wanted to share this hour, and this Sundrop note kind of plays right into it, and it deals with regionalism. It's a little something I saw on social media over breakfast this morning. And it was somebody posted, what's a regional thing you thought was standard as a kid, but were shocked to find out that it's not? Now, for me, it's pretty simple. Growing up on the other side of the St. Croix, everybody said pop. And then I met a farm girl from northeast Wisconsin, and it's like, no, it's soda.
She said it correctly.
I'd never heard of a bubbler before I met her. And yeah. Now you hear bubbler all the time. But this person who put up the post said, for me, being from the South, it was grits. I thought everyone ate grits for breakfast and then found out most people around the U.S. had no idea what they even were. Nor did I. It's basically, it's kind of like oatmeal, but it's made with corn. You know, you dry that out and then you serve it up and you cook it up. And boy, where did we, the first few times you have grits, you know, you're just like, what is this? But if you find a way to gussy it up the right way, which I guess you can say about pretty much anything, what was the, you know, Sherry just woke up. If I yell across the house, she might actually tell me. But there was a way to make grits palatable. I don't know. Maybe you like them.
I love grits.
You do?
I love grits very, very much. And I've been eating grits since I was a kid because we would take trips down south. And I feel like I ate them there. Or maybe I just heard the term grits and, you know, kiss my grits and things
like that. Kiss my grits. Yep, yep.
And it was just, I mean, they're delicious. And I only gussy them up in a few simple ways. I'll either put some butter on it or I put some hot sauce on it, but that's about it. I don't like sweet grits. I like the grits savory with a little bit of flavor, but not too much because I like the consistency. I like the flavor. I like the taste. It's great. So
I'm going to try out my home intercom system. I have a home intercom system here. Honey, if you're listening, can you text me the way we had grits in the Carolinas? That was so good. Thank you. Now we'll see if my phone, you know, beeps or not. So back to the original post. For somebody, they said it was in North Carolina, broken down cars by the side of the road.
Yeah.
You put a white shirt in the window, whereas other places might put like a little red flag on the, you know, the antenna back when we had car radio antennas. White shirts go in the windows of broken cars. Somebody from New York City said they assumed pimento cheese. That was it. I'd never had pimento cheese before. Put pimento cheese on grits.
Oh, cheesy
you're
grits.
Welcome.
Cheesy grits are great, but you can't over cheese them or else it's just it's a clump of cheese. Correct. It's weird. But yeah, a little bit of cheese. Yeah. Mm-mm-mm.
Oh. Which reminds me, coming up, teasing Luke Mathers, talking about Top Chef Wisconsin, the curse of risotto strikes again, talking about things you can make right 100 times, but you only have to make them wrong once, you know? So somebody from New York says, you know, didn't realize that Today Show and Good Morning America were national shows. Thought that they were just, you know, shows in New York, about life in New York. I like this one from California. Not everybody, this person learned, puts the in front of freeway numbers like they do out there with the 5, the 101, the 405, which really was the whole premise of the Saturday Night Live bit, the Californians, you know?
The Californians.
Take the 32 to the 110 to the 105. But, you know, similarly in Chicago, they have to learn that not everybody names their freeways like they do there with the Stevenson, the Ryan, the Edens, the Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know of a lot of places that do that. And even then, I've driven through Chicago enough times that it still doesn't make any sense to me. The numbered signs are right there. I'm following 294, you know?
Agreed. And in fact, when I think about it, I don't know any other place in the country that refers to their freeways giving it a proper, you know, the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, say, I'm going down the 94. People be like, are you okay?
I would guess that in Idaho, where we learned this one, people maybe have to learn that most high school sports teams do not include rodeo.
Oh, that's they have rodeo so competitions cool, though.
Among high schools. Yes, you know, because you got genuine cowboys doing that. And so if you want to add your own, you can call us or text us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. Use the Civic Media app to call or text us as well. So I'm trying to think of the Wisconsin ones, and unfortunately, you're going to notice a theme here, except for this first one, supper clubs, and especially supper clubs with a relish tray. We've had visitors who, when the relish tray comes out, like, wait, what is all of this? And it's like, well, here's some radishes, and, you know, here's some bread, and here's some of the, you know, some other things that you get, you know, breadsticks.
Here's almost an appetizer. There you go.
Almost, yes, it's a relish tray. But the other ones, unfortunately, you're gonna sense again. I didn't realize that this was just pretty much a Wisconsin thing. They all involve alcohol.
Yeah,
there's binge drinking.
Oh, I think
itself.
I know. Can I take a guess what the first one is?
Yes.
Brandy Old Fashioned.
Yes, yep. Absolutely. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, the brandy old fashioned is one that you won't find elsewhere. And please, unless the bartender in one of the other 49 states specifically advertises old fashions, don't ask for it out of thin air. You won't get it. You'll get a Manhattan.
Yeah.
And a poorly made one at that. Here's the other one that's unique. A chaser with your Bloody Mary.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
If you get a Bloody Mary, you get a snoot, you know, a little thing of beer. Usually now it's going to be one of the, you know, the regular ones, you know, your Pabst and your Miller Lite or whatever.
That's
don't
what
go
have.
Asking
give
for something
life.
Fancy.
Don't give me like a complex IPA or a porter.
No. But again, any other state, you order Bloody Mary. They're so proud of it. Here's your Bloody Mary. And you go, can I get a, you know, a chaser with that?
What's that?
You're trying to get a free beer out of us? What is this, sir? And then the other one, of course, is, you know, not going to jail on first offense DWI or DUI, as the case may be. Because, again, the culture is just a little bit different here when it comes to alcohol. But, yeah, if you have your own ideas for regionalisms, I believe Ralph is calling in from Waukesha, wants to tell us a little bit more about that. Ralph, thank you for calling in. Good morning. What do you got for us? Oh, here comes Ralph now. I'm sorry, Greg was putting him on air here. And there we go. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Yeah, so what's your example here?
So here's my example. Sheboygan area, Manitowoc, instead of grilling out, they have a fry out.
Yes, yes, the fry out.
It's a fryer.
Yes. I know. And, you know, again, Sherry, being from Manitowoc County, still says that. Says we're going to have a fry out. I'm like, you mean a grill out? I'm like, no, a fry out. Yes, that is a perfect one. So you're in Waukesha. Are you from the Sheboygan, Manitowoc area originally, or how did, or you just had enough exposure to it?
I married into this.
See? Group. Yep. And look, for better or for worse, right? Including
And here's another one. Years ago, I had some friends who were not from Milwaukee ask for directions, and someone said, oh, take KK and go east or west or whatever it was, and they had no idea what KK was.
Yeah, the County Highway Lettering System, exactly. All right. Ralph, thank you so much.
No, it's not.
I know. Oh, Kinnick. Oh, you mean that kind of KK. I got you. Yes, that one also.
All right,
I had to learn that. Thank you, Ralph. Have a great day. Appreciate you calling in here. 855-75-CIVIC on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Eminem's second major label album, the Marshall Mathers LP, became the fastest selling rap album ever on this day in 2000, selling 1.75 million copies in its debut week. And that clean version of that song is all we can play off of that. So if you either have the album or you don't. Again, you can join the conversation here at 855-75-CIVIC on the text line from Lynn in Oconomowoc. Good morning. My dad was a big Milwaukee Braves fan. He took me out of school for a couple of afternoon games. And so I always thought the last line of the Star Spangled Banner was for our team, the home of the Braves.
That's funny.
That's pretty good.
I think that's funny. I love that. I love that.
I never thought of that. So we've been talking about regionalism, something that you thought was standard as a kid, but we're shocked to find out it is not. And it does not necessarily have to be from Wisconsin. Like I said, From Minnesota, the whole Minnesota nice thing, which really isn't a thing anymore. Now it's just passive aggressive behavior. But one of the things that will frustrate you going there, and again, I'm not saying these things aren't everywhere, but you'll really find them there. People waving you through the four-way stop.
Oh.
And I know Charlie Behrens has done that too with Wisconsin drivers. But again, the whole notion, you're there, you know it's that person's turn. And they're just like, yep, go ahead. Go ahead. No, don't do that.
Every time someone does that, because I know the correct way at a four-way stop, like how you delineate who goes first. If you come to the stop at the same time, and like if you're just sitting there, especially when people are like, oh, I'll just sit here on my phone. No one's around. They can go through. I always say out loud to no one, I don't need your permission to go. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so infuriating.
The thing that has rescued us from that, of course, has been the proliferation of roundabouts. And I am very happy about roundabouts. But I also noticed as I was watching, you know, the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend is always a big race day. You know, you've got the Coca-Cola 600 at night. You've got the Indy 500 during the afternoon. We started the day, and we have for quite some time now, watching the Formula One race out of Monaco. Because I think that's on ESPN that Sunday morning. And it just reminded me of the roundabouts. Sometimes when people are trying to speed through rather than yield.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, they're coming up to it. And they know they should yield because somebody's already in the roundabout. But they're like, oh, no, I can get this. You know,
or the people right who, while in the roundabout, yield.
Oh, I haven't seen that for a long time, thankfully. Yeah. But when they were first going up and people were doing that, that would get to me. So the last hour had a conversation with Joseph Pecky, and we were talking about how there are still people who are supporters of Scott Walker who have put the names of people who signed the recall petitions in a database, and they weaponize it to this day. There's a judge in Dane County hearing a case related to Act 10. He hasn't been a judge dating back to when he signed the petition, but when he did sign it many, many years ago, of course, a conservative radio talk show host was first to get it out there, like, you know, he signed that, which, you know, signing petitions is actually something a judge can do today. It's, you know, part of their freedom of speech, your right to petition the government, you know, with your signature. And you should be able to do that without fear of retribution. Now, judges can still, you know, recuse themselves. And like Joe said, there are recusal rules. But Joe then got into the whole, you know, why are they being such snowflakes about this? And how did Joe exactly put it? Like, you know, save your fake outrage for the next comedian you see.
Yeah.
I immediately thought of the guy, you know, running the Laughing Tap at laughingtap.com in Milwaukee. I think I felt it strike a nerve with you.
Yeah, Joe Sopecki, stay off my doorstep. Don't lead those people towards me. It will not end well for anyone involved. I am sick to death of this topic.
Like people have actually walked out and said to you, I didn't know this person was going to tell jokes, you know, as they walked out.
Well, honestly, I can't. We you know, when you own a venue like that, you're going to have people walk out, and there's various reasons. We try to figure out why, and basically, if they leave early and we say goodnight as they're walking out, they're smiling, or they might just have somewhere else to be. That sometimes they're not feeling well, but when they don't look at you and they blow past you, you're like, oh, they're not enjoying this night. And rarely do we have people say it's like, you know, I don't agree with what they're saying, because we don't have overly political comics coming through, but the ones who do make political comments, they're smart and they're funny and they're fun, and that's the thing. Is like, we had a comedian years ago. He was railing on Donald Trump, and there were two people in the front row who were very upset about it and then stormed off. And I'm like, you are the exact model of what you claim that people like us are, which is unable to take a joke and blah, blah, blah. It's like you're storming out. You can't laugh at your guy. Okay. Do you know how many people, how many comics make fun of Joe Biden now?
Oh, yeah.
It is a lot. And a lot of them would identify as liberal, too.
Yes. I mean, all you got to say is Joe Biden falling off a bike, you know, and you get this laugh. And of course, my thinking is, well, I'd rather have a president who can ride a bike and risks falling off than, I mean, imagine Donald Trump trying to ride a bike. I mean, that's a comic routine right in there.
Oh, man.
But, you know, if you're going to get upset about it in this political environment, you know, I'd really say just kind of smile, take it, maybe come up with your own retort about the other guy, if that's what you want. Because otherwise, like my coffee mug from Drink Wisconsinably says here, you're going to have a coffee mug that says, shh, this isn't coffee. You're going to need a lot more of that, you know, to get through life. So please be nice to Greg. I normally do this on Friday mornings, and I will do it again tomorrow. But while we're on the topic, I don't want to miss a chance to ask you what's happening at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Oh, well, Pat, I'm glad you asked. I don't know. I was like going into my Chicago. I'm glad you asked there, Pat. We got no, I'm just gonna, I'm not going to do that. Adrienne Iapolucci is headlining. She's going to be doing three shows, one Friday and two Saturday, 7:30 on Friday, 7:30 and 10 on Saturday. Tickets are available, laughingtap.com. Tickets are $22 online, $25 at the door, no drink minimum. So it is an affordable night of fun and frivolity.
Frivolity, I like that. I almost did it again. I wanted to get the little banner up on social media, laughingtap.com.
Yeah.
I started typing in comedytap.com again. I'm like, why are you stuck on doing that?
Yeah, welcome to the Comedy Tap. This is going to be a fine show. I got Adrienne Iapolucci, and she's going to make the funnies.
It's going to be good.
Yes, it's going to be a great time.
LaughingTap.com.
LaughingTap.com. For all your ha-ha funnies.com.
All your ha-ha needs. Christian Yelich, Blake Perkins, and Willie Adames all hit home runs as the Brewers beat the Cubs 10-6 last night. For Yelich, it was his first home run since April 10th at Cincinnati. Recall that he missed 20-some games with an injury. And it also brought to an end the Cubs starting pitcher's scoreless streak of the Brewers at 32 and two-thirds innings. The Brewers scored five runs in the third, which were all needed to guard against a threatened Cubs comeback in the ninth inning. The four-game series will wrap up this afternoon. Colin Ray gets the start for the Brewers, 12:10, first pitch. Pre-game is at 11:35 this morning, including four civic media stations, News from the Center in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, and 98Q Country up in Park Falls. Coming up next, we're going to have this week's Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good, and we're going to learn all about a candidate in Northeast Wisconsin using social media to take us truly inside the campaign. This is Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends at the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Girls, we run this mother. All right, welcome back. It's time for Women Win Wisconsin, powered by our friends at Motherhood for Good. Kate Duffy is here, Nicole Slavin as well, and our special guest candidate, Renee Popolum, will join us in just a second here. Kate, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Great, thanks. Nicole, you as well?
Doing great. Yeah, excited that we're kind of into summer or almost summer. So yeah, liking being outside.
Okay, very good. Oh, wait, Kate, today, Thursday, May 30th, this is your sip and swap, isn't it?
Yeah, this is the Trade Your Kid night.
Trade Your Kid night. Last week, we were teasing Kate because the Motherhood for Good post says, swap your no longer needed kid and baby items, you have to go to the next line, for new-to-you goods from our community. So it's a nice little clothing swap that they're doing today. So head over to Motherhood for Good on Instagram to get more of the details. Yeah. And the Freudian slips are the best ones. All right, we're going to get into talking to Renee, but I wanted to lead into it this way. Our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, is also running for Congress in that area, Northeast Wisconsin. She mentioned having an event in Door County and that there were international media, national and international media there, because Door County, because of the way voters there have voted for president in the last few elections, is seen as a true national bellwether. And we can get into why that is or isn't, but I always just take it to the point, Nicole, saying that this just is further proof that wherever you live in Wisconsin, but I guess especially in some place in or near Door County, your vote is so valuable right now, and it's worth it to pay attention to issues and candidates.
I completely agree. I'm in De Pere, just outside of Green Bay, and it has been really, really amazing to just see over the past 5 years or so, in particular, of just the wave of people who are a lot more vocal about voting, who are showing up to vote. I don't think we get as much shine and, you know, stage light as the larger cities, Milwaukee, Madison, but definitely a really, really active area as far as, you know, voting and supporting candidates and absolutely Door County is kind of the leading star there here in the Northeast Wisconsin area.
Yep, without a doubt. So that takes us to Assembly District 1. Kate, if you want to bring Renee into the conversation here.
Yeah, so we're so excited to have Renee on with us today, who is running for Wisconsin State Assembly in the 1st District up in that Northeast Wisconsin area. And we've seen a lot of change up in that area, and it tends to be one of the most purple areas of Wisconsin and trending bluer. So, Renee, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running?
Hi, well, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me. So I am running because I have a firm belief that women need to be seated at the table, and we needed a candidate for this district. I was actually on the search team to find one, and we needed one. So Kristen Lyerly had tapped me, and of course, I had to think about it a couple times before I thought, yeah, this is a good idea. We can really do this. We have a lot of motivation in Door County, a lot of grassroots support helping us. So this feels like a winnable race for us.
I love that. And I just have to reiterate that really quick. I didn't realize that, but that is so like women running for office. And that's what I love about it, that you said, like, I was on the search team to find someone. And then I actually stepped into that role, into that calling. And that is exactly why, you know, we love having these conversations and all of these women stepping up to do that. How are things going so far? Like, I know, in the break, we were talking about you having a day of action, and we'll talk about it at the end of going and knocking on doors, but how have the conversations you've been having in that area, how are they going? What are you hearing from people? What's the temperature like up there? Not weather-wise, but political-wise.
So it's really good in Door County. I would say the grassroots growth and momentum in that county specifically is amazing. I'm not sure that there's a district like this anywhere else in the state of Wisconsin. So these folks have been organizing for a while and have a really good platform for me to use to get my messages out and to speak to people. So they're doing a lot of legwork for me. And when I talk to voters, again, just like you said, people are really motivated. They realize that there is a lot at stake in the 2024 election cycle, and they are leaving it all out on the field. They are not leaving anything to chance, and they are coming out to support and to help and to donate money. And so it's just a really good time meeting a lot of really great people.
There are so many ways to meet people through events, through fundraisers, through door knocking, of course, signature gathering. But we're now also in a social media age. And Renee, you were one of the first folks to catch my eye for your frequent use of social media, primarily on TikTok, but elsewhere. And I think we've all kind of shared the story that it's not something we were necessarily seeking out. There was a bit of a learning curve for all of us. But once you kind of learn it, you really see the value in these short videos, some that are, you know, that look outside around the district, but also, you know, that really share your thoughts about why you're running and things like that. Can you talk about just the whole social media video mode of communicating with voters?
Sure. So I started when I became an activist after the Dobbs decision, I had basically like zero social media experience. So when I got on TikTok and found these short videos, it was just a really good fit for me to share news clips that I thought were very worthy of people seeing, and then kind of putting my thoughts and feelings behind those. And that was just kind of my way of communicating how I felt about politics in this country, whether it be nationally or in the state or even locally. So I found it as a very useful tool. And the number one thing I find is that people really like positive things. Some of my best and most viewed clips are really positive, bright messages. And so I think people right now are looking for that. So I try to feed into that with my own campaign and just kind of show all the great things that we're doing and how it works. And so people have kind of an inside view of that it's nothing special. There's no special ingredient other than being you and working really hard.
Appreciate that and completely agree. I think we're inundated with enough not so positive messages in our days, so particularly on social media. We were talking a little bit before about Door County and how, you know, the organizing there is just so spot on and already well, you know, put together. You have a really interesting district, though, in that you have all of Door County, but you also have Kewaunee and coming in, butting up against Green Bay. I was just curious, when you're out talking to people and you have rural farm areas. You also have, you know, more city areas. Talk to us about what you're hearing from constituents and what you think are the most important or pressing issues for people in your district.
So I think one of the things to focus on really are that people's immediate needs are being met. So of course people are struggling. And I know somebody on my campaign team who's moving out of Door County actually because of housing costs. So that's huge. Cost of childcare, access to healthcare. Of course, folks are really concerned about the state of our democracy. So I would say that there's a lot of fear heading into this election that we're actually going to be taken care of as a state, because it doesn't always feel like that's what our legislator has been, legislative body has been up to this past decade.
Absolutely. And are there any, like, beyond kind of what you're hearing at the doors, are there any policy issues or things that are kind of really close to you and your value system that kind of pushed you to throw your hat in the ring and take this leap and run for assembly that you're hoping to kind of work on right away if and when you get to Madison and are able to represent this district?
Yes. So the Dobbs decision is how I got involved. So of course, women's reproductive freedoms are very important to me, but also just the fact since then of really observing from afar how females are treated, no matter what area of life we're in, we have a lot of ground to gain here. And that I think by having more women's voices at these decision-making tables, we can achieve progress in these areas.
I want to tell you as well that folks have been listening, contributing. Somebody named Kristen Lyerly writes in on Facebook, Renee is the special ingredient. So apparently, you know, you have supporters in high places already. Alicia Saunders, another friend of ours. Well, she was kicking in from earlier about grill outs versus fry outs. She'd always referred to them as a barbecue. I don't know what you would want to add to the regionalisms, but you know, we talked about Top Chef last week and doing a Door County style fish boil. So I'm sure there are ways that candidates campaign up there that are not necessarily the same as you might do, you know, in other parts of Wisconsin or the country for that matter.
Yeah. So up in Door County, I'm really trying to tap into, and we're just kind of growing a little bit. A fish boil is a great idea, but really tapping into the creative and artistic bones in that area of people just kind of creative messaging my campaign and how to really get my name out there for people to recognize.
Well, in part because as well, the population, and look, there are population shifts everywhere, but there's two ways that that happens. Either people are born there and die there, or there are people who move in or move out. And Door County strikes me as one of those places with quite an eclectic mix of that. And so as a result, you know, you're really talking to people from all kinds of stripes, people that have been born and raised there, but also people that are relatively new to the area. So when we talk about Door County getting all this national attention, I don't know if that makes your job easier or harder. I'd like to think easier because you seem to be such a social person.
Ah, well, thank you. Well, I like to believe that Door County is that bellwether that has been reported on. And I just made a TikTok too, and I mentioned how Reed Ribble, he's a smart guy, he's been in politics for a long time.
Former Republican congressman, right?
Yes. So he believes that Door County is going to vote for Biden. So if Door County is the true bellwether that I believe it is, hopefully our country will be going to Joe Biden in 2024.
Wow. We're talking to Renee Popolam here, and to learn more, I've been putting these up on screen for social media, but for folks listening on the radio, the website is Popolam, P-A-P-L-H-A-M, PopolamForAssembly.com. The TikTok is at Renee Popolam. The Facebook is at Popolam for Assembly. And the Instagram Threads one is at Renee_Popolam. Which just goes again to, of all the things that you have to do for a campaign, finding consistent handles is nearly impossible these days. It's all part of the infrastructure of a campaign. Renee, do you have a lot of like a campaign team yet? Is it more of a kitchen cabinet? I'm sure it's only going to build and build as we go through the summer.
Oh, Pat, I've got it all. So that candidate search team really kind of molded into my kitchen cabinet, which is a large group of really strong supporters. And then of course I've got people on the side helping me with pieces here and there when I need it. I just ask and they are so willing to help. It's been an amazing collaboration.
And what do you have planned in terms, I'm assuming, obviously there are a lot of locals that live in the Door County area year round, but it also comes alive in the summer with a lot of tourists and stuff too. And there's going to be a lot of people there. Do you have plans for the summer for having beyond door knocking, like any events or meet and greets or things like that, where people can come out and meet you and hopefully you can get some good reach with that?
Yes, at the end of June is Open Door Pride Fest. I plan on being there. And I plan to hit some festivals too. There's a lot of out of town people. So I was just at Mayfest in Jacksonport. And a lot of the folks I talked to were not from the area and they were just visiting. So I'm going to try to get to events a little early to make sure that I meet some vendors and local folks. And then I think parades is the way to go. I'd like to get in a lot of parades and walk by potentially thousands of eyeballs. So I think that's a really great way to get my name out there for voters to see me.
That's great. And I would argue you have the most beautiful scenic district of anyone in the state. So you're very lucky with all those events. Just to kind of help round out, do you have anything coming up this weekend? Any current events where people can get out and meet you and ask questions?
Yes. So we are door knocking in Sturgeon Bay this Saturday. We have a 12 p.m. shift and a 3 p.m. shift. And door knocking is one of those hardest things to find volunteers for. But again, we have so much at stake. I would push people to give a little extra if they can and help door knock. And we can even make smaller packets. If all they want to knock is 20 doors, we'll give you a packet with 20 doors.
That's perfect. Because again, it takes, you know, a full team, some that will give you, you know, 25 hours a day and others that can only do that handful of doors. But we all know every little bit that anybody can do is so greatly appreciated. So again, Renee Popolam, thank you so much for keeping us updated on what's happening in Assembly District Number 1 and the videos that you're doing on social media. And of course, to find out more about what Kate and Nicole are up to, head over to Instagram at Motherhood for Good and learn more there. And they will be back next week with another candidate as part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment. Renee, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Kate and Nicole, thanks as always. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
All right. When we come back, Luke Mathers will be here and we'll do a little wrap up of last night's Top Chef Wisconsin next on Up North News Radio. Welcome back at 7:50 right now, and with 4 seconds to spare, Luke Mathers joins us to talk about Top Chef Wisconsin, where they laid it all out on the table last night. Mr. Mathers, good morning.
Mr. Kreitlow, how are we doing today?
Very, very good, thanks. Good. First off, let's do a mic check. Your mic sounds fine. My mic sounds fine. Now we're going to check Greg's microphone. Chef Testance.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a good day.
I expected to hear snoring. So, all right. Well,
not yet. You got to let the segment go on a little bit first.
I know. So we're up to episode 11. There are three remaining in this Wisconsin season, although I guess I would hasten to add this Milwaukee season of Top Chef, with a little bits of culture and food from around Wisconsin. And I think because we're down to five... But then they added a sixth one at the start of the show because of the, what is it, Last Chance Kitchen, where people that are eliminated have a chance to come back.
Correct.
So Laura made a return.
Laura.
But there was a lot of talk about, you know, missing their spouses and their significant others. And, you know, did it have anything to do with food? No, but you can't have a reality TV show without those, you know, heart-tugging moments.
It usually gets about to this point when there's roughly 4 or 5 chef testants left, where there does become a family meal involved as well. So I would not be shocked if next week there is a either significant other or a parent or a loved one that joins the season to either be cooked for or to participate in one of the challenges.
Very nice. So then it was time to get into the cooking. And again, there's 2 rounds. The first one is called a quick fire challenge. I had never imagined anything like this before, where one of the judges, Tom, before all of the chef testants arrive, makes a dish for the other judges there. So there's just 3 of them. And he makes this dish and they eat it up and they leave, you know, just a smattering left on the dish. And the contestants, the chef testants come in and they're told, you have to make what Tom just made just based on what little you're able to see or smell from the dish. And you get 20 questions, basically. It was 24, but you know, you get 20 questions. You ask questions, yes or no questions only, to guess. Now, what Tom had made was a lobster stir fry with, you know, some other ingredients that were put in there. And they all had to try to figure it out while they're cooking. It's like, you got 30 minutes, so ask me questions and start cooking.
And they couldn't taste anything. They could smell, they could look at, they could see the remnants of a plate, but they could not taste what was left on that plate. And so through smelling and seeing, the other senses besides taste, these chefs were, and their four questions each, 24 questions total, got to ask and try to recreate a dish. And this is probably one of the most exciting,
stressful, difficult
quick fires in some time. Yeah.
I can't even imagine doing that. But they did, although I loved Dan had a line, like, I don't know what I just made when it was all said and done. But it was a lobster stir fry, and eventually one of the 24 questions led to lobster. But the stir fry part didn't come up. Savannah was the only one who guessed that it was a stir fry. Everybody was kind of looking at her funny, like, oh, she's making hers in a wok. Well, it turned out she was right to do that, and she ended up winning the
quick fire challenge. Well, Dan didn't notice. Dan Jacobs of Milwaukee, Wisconsin native for this competition, did not notice until about 90 seconds left in the quick fire to see that Savannah was using a wok, and then he started kicking himself because he's like, shoot, I should have used the wok. But Savannah picked up the fact that for the first time in a while in the kitchen, there were woks there. So she was like, I'm pretty sure this is what I need to use because I don't remember seeing this. Mm-hmm. So she was very observationalist. She's pretty cutthroat too because she figured it out early. And she was like, I don't want to ask if it's a stir fry or not because I'm going to point everybody else in the correct direction. And she didn't want that. So she's playing the game hard lately.
And it is a game, it is a competition. So off they went to the next elimination challenge, and it was a pretty well open one. It was to make a meal or to make a meal that you're going to serve on the table. No plates or anything. You're just basically using the table as a canvas. And I'm going to lead in with Manny, who has apparently learned nothing, because he, and anybody that's followed this segment knows, if there's one thing that is cursed in Top Chef, what is it, Luke?
It's risotto. You do not make risotto on Top Chef. It is a good way to be sent home. Kevin already found that out the hard way this season, and many chef testants have found that out the hard way in seasons past.
So he was going to do that with some squid, and you know, basically the risotto.
Risotto wasn't even his problem, though. He just had he had poor timing because of the amount of time dedicated to the risotto. Mm-hmm. So all of his seafood was overcooked. His final table plating, or tabling, I guess you want to call it in this one, was kind of all over the place, but it got him in the bottom, but did not send him home.
No. Now Dan did a beef tartare with some flatbread swipes.
Beet tartare.
Beet. What did I say?
Beef.
Oh, I'm sorry. Beet tartare. Yeah. And some of them did such artistic stuff. It looked like a Jackson Pollock painting. Mm-hmm. The tabletop with the sauces and the other things that were spread around. Michelle made something with salmon and biscuits and used like about 5% of the tabletop.
Squeezed everything there, did not use it as a canvas, and ultimately...
Which is weird because she runs a barbecue place where you're all the time doing, you know, boils, you know, and things like that. Danny had another gorgeous-looking canvas with a lobster paella. Had a little issue with the rice burning, but, you know, made the most of it. And then Savannah had problems with the octopus that she was working on. Mm-hmm. Laura did a sweet one, And boy, did the judges rave about the ice cream, this kind of this ring of honey that was on
the baklava ring. Yep. Yes. She did a very good job. Danny and Laura were all at the top, and it was very interesting to see their tables.
It was. Some of them were so nice. So Laura ended up winning with her sweet tray, sweet table. And Michelle, one of my favorites from the barbecue, but just couldn't master the table, and she was the one that was sent home. So yeah. we're getting close to the end here.
So now we know for sure, no more Last Chance Kitchen. There's five final chefs in this, Dan Jacobs and four other chef testants. So we're down to the final five.
Yeah, and and finally, one observation from Tony commenting on YouTube. Could Greg tone it down? He's really monopolizing the segment over here.
Speaking of tone, when you're working with the tone pot in guitar building, you want to use a push-pull mod. It's important to make sure you use a capacitor that's right.
Hey, Luke, thank you so much. Appreciate
this.
Always
a pleasure, gentlemen. Appreciate both of you. Appreciate both of you.
Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier. I'm Pat Brightlow, and those guys, too. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.